to look with me in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Acts 16. We're going to jump into the ministry of Paul and Silas. And verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Well, Paul and Silas were Jews, and this is one of the wee passages in Luke's account, and Luke is a Gentile. And he's, from what I understand, he's the only Gentile that wrote Scripture, the Acts and the Gospel of Luke. But the wonderful thing about the gospel is it transforms our thinking and our lives. We don't look at people the same as we did when we didn't know Christ. So here you've got three men working together, Jew, Gentile, side by side, with a wonderful message. Now, what struck me about this passage is something I hadn't noticed before, and it's the next expression. And this is why I chose this passage. Now it happened, verse 16, as we went to prayer. Now in this passage, you have three kinds of lifestyles. As men and women of God who love the Lord, we are people of prayer. Paul and Silas wanted, along with Luke, to pray for their ministry, their outreach. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. Without it, we feel we have no strength. It gives us a wonderful contact with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We try to live a life that is respectable, that has the right parameters, that is godly in our society. People watch us, look at us, wonder who we are, what we do. And we should be marked by prayer. I know we have prayer meetings in our assemblies and people come together to pray. This pandemic is so overwhelming. We wonder if they're going to find a cure or not. But we should be praying. Praying for our friends and our neighbors, our families, each other. But in this case, as these men were going to the place of prayer, they had already been at prayer when they met Lydia in the previous experience, which I'm not going to go into. So maybe they were going back to the riverside, to that group of people to pray. Now it happened. You know, we live our lives. We want everything to be decent and in order. But things come up to us. Things happen to us. We get upset. Events occur. Sickness comes. We lose a job or we lose money or we meet somebody that upsets us. Things happen to us. Now this happened to Paul and Silas and Luke while they were going to pray. Sometimes we have the thought that because we're believers, we'll be treated especially different in society and with our friends and by the Lord himself. We're his children. He'll protect us. On the way to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with a demon of divination met them. Now they hadn't expected this. when you do go out and mix with society, you're not always sure who's going to talk with you, who's going to be with you. Your place of work, you're, or at home, someone coming to the door. So we're ready to serve the Lord God in all circumstances. And here's these men, they're going to prayer, and this slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met them. That's the second style of life. The first style of life were men of God going to prayer. That's a wonderful style of life. But here's a slave girl. There are unfortunate people in our society that are treated badly. In this case, it's an evil spirit. And because of her prophetic powers, there were those who made money off of her. That's the third style we see here of life. People out to make money. Paul, Silas, Luke, out to win souls. They're people of prayer. Could you take this unfortunate young woman? She's there, not of her own volition, but by the spirit that indwells her. And sometimes people get themselves into such situations that they're really controlled by others, not necessarily an evil spirit, but by other people. And we meet them and we confront them with the saving power of God's grace. When I was going to the University of Wisconsin, I had a wonderful opportunity to witness to a young man who was in a fraternity. Very devoted to the fraternity, but I had a wonderful opportunity to present him with the gospel that frees us from our sins. Well, he listened, but he was upset. He said, "Bob, listen to me. I like what you're saying, but I prefer my fellow brothers in my fraternity. If I do what you ask me to do, they'll kick me out. I don't want to do that." That doesn't prevent us from trying to reach out to people with the gospel, but it's unfortunate that that young man said no to the good news of God's salvation. Now we know that Paul is an emotional person. Paul had a terrific argument with Barnabas over Timothy. Over Mark, I mean. And so he can be very emotional. It's good to be emotional. It's good to have compassion. It's good to have deep feelings. And so the girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Well, you think, that's not bad, but it's an evil spirit. There's something sinister about the evil spirits proclaiming that truth through this girl. Well, she's following him them every day. If they've gone to prayer often, maybe they follow the same route, but she's following them and continually to repeat this. Well, the proclamation should not be coming from demonic possession. When we were in a place called La Chute in Quebec years ago, we went to the northern part of La Chute, and J.N. Darby had visited there last century and started some exclusive meetings. There were still some Christians in the area. Mrs. MacArthur invited us up to do some preaching, present the gospel to the farm people. She had a big yard and she had a house there, and we got to, quite a few people came, maybe 40, to listen to the gospel message. All of a sudden, a woman walks in. We're outside now. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. A woman comes and she's, "Go get get, she's saying this in French, allez vous en, get out of the way, get away from me. And she was trying to push something away from her skirts. And she did that right in the middle of the message I was preaching about Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior. And I did. I thought, what am I gonna do? So this is what I did. I pointed the woman out as, you there, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sit down and be quiet. Do you know what happened? She sat down and was quiet. I was flabbergasted. I didn't know what else to do. Well, after the meeting was over, I went to Mrs. MacArthur, and she kind of had a little smile on her face, and she gave me the name of the woman, and she said she's suffering from delusions. She's been a mental patient. She thinks that there are demons with the heads of hawks trying to get under her skirt. Well, what impressed me, I don't know how you would react, was how she calmed down and sat down when I said what I said. Now, Paul got annoyed. And she did this for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, spoke to the Spirit. I command you, in verse 18, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Now, I suppose, I mean, I'm not an apostle. I don't have any powers. But when that happened to me there in Quebec in the Lachute area, I just felt that the only thing I could do is call upon the Lord to do something. Well, he called upon the Lord. Maybe this is where I got the idea from. At the moment, the spur of the moment, things were getting out of hand. And the Spirit obeyed the command of Paul and came out that very hour. Now, this is going to cause a lot of problems. When we serve the Lord, we want to do His will. We want to walk according to the Word of God and according to faith. Sometimes we get ourselves into difficult situations because of our faith, because of what we believe, because of who we are. We were visiting in the Gaspé. Gaston Jolin was with me. We were doing house-to-house visitation work. We came to this home, and the woman said yes. And Gaston said to her, we're here, we'd like to present the gospel to you. She said, well, come in. And we sat down and we were talking to this woman about the Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, the back door opens up and her husband comes charging through the house. He must have seen us go in. I don't know. He was livid. What are you doing in my home? And what are you doing to my wife? I'm going to beat the brains out of you. Now, Gaston was very wise. He said, sir, we're sorry, but I commend you. You're a man who protects his family. We'll leave, but may I just thank you for being so courageous. And the guy didn't know what to say. He looked at him, and all of a sudden, his anger left him. He said, it was upsetting to see you here with my wife, but sit down and tell us about what you want to say. How to handle situations isn't always easy. Now remember, Paul was annoyed, but he did the right thing. But the woman now is cured. The woman now is free. You would think that she would, this was written with the idea in mind that perhaps she actually came to know Christ as well. The demon's out of her. She's cleansed. That's finished. But remember, there's a third class in society. People make money off of other people. These men made money off of her prophecies. Verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. I've noticed something, maybe some of you already taught on this passage. Remember verse 16, we went to prayer. And the servant girl met us. Well, the masters dragged Paul and Silas. Luke was a Gentile. We don't know all the ins and outs. He's recording the passage, but he didn't get dragged off. It's Paul and Silas who are dragged off into the marketplace to the authorities. That's also interesting to note something. Paul was a Roman citizen, a respected Roman citizen. He doesn't make that known. He doesn't take advantage of his citizenship. At this point, you'll do that later on in the chapter, but at this point, he doesn't say anything. He allows these men to drag him into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men being Jews, extremely trouble our city. Now, maybe there's a time to speak, a time not to speak. Here was a time that Paul did not speak. Could be even said, hold it. I am a Jew, but I'm a Roman citizen. He doesn't do that. And for not doing that, he gets greater opportunity to make the gospel known. Now, I'm sure some of you who are faithfully following the Lord Jesus are wrongly treated. And you want to claim your rights. And sometimes it's better not to say anything because it may open more doors of service for you. Maybe you're in the workplace. A rumor goes around. It's a lie. You're the brunt of the accusation. Maybe there's a way out. Maybe that you should say something, but maybe not. Maybe not saying something will open bigger doors. Sometimes having the knowledge and using the knowledge are two different things. These men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. See, the Jews don't know about all of our customs and our... Now, these are lies. You know, being a worker, sometimes we get into situations not to our doing from ourselves. Accusations are made against us. Or accusations may be made against you. And so often, unfortunately, accusations become reality. People sometimes in society can't distinguish between an accusation and a truth. Now, they did this with our Lord Jesus. They accused him of saying that he could destroy the temple and in 3 days raise it up. But John tells us in that second chapter of John, when he made that statement, he was referring to his body. But they made the accusation, and the accusation became the crowd truth. It's difficult. to be accused of something for which you're not guilty. I know something happened, and I was talking to my brother Al. We were discussing it because in Al's ministry in Texas, he was accused of many things. And he said, Bob, sometimes it's no good to justify yourself or the situation. It just makes it worse. Sometimes just walk away. Well, in Paul's case, he had his reasons. We're not given the reasons. But Luke, now recording, and probably from their own testimony, telling him, because Luke was the type of writer who wanted the facts to be correct. He's not with Paul and Silas. They're separated here. We don't find Luke going to prison. Then the multitude rose up in verse 22, together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Now, money is a funny way of slanting our thinking, influencing our actions. These men are acting out of anger because they've lost a source of money making. And so they're so angry, they don't even want to think about getting the facts straight. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Can you imagine this? This gospel preacher, Paul, powerful, commands the demon to come out of the woman. If he just said something. He doesn't. So we admire servants of God who will suffer pain and not say anything. But they were beaten, thrown into prison. Then were introduced to the jailer. Someone has suggested that this wasn't necessarily the only job he had. He was a jailer, but it was in the closing years of his life. I don't know why they made that suggestion. But having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. The passage starts out, they were on their way to prayer. Now, they're in an inner darkened prison. Their feet are fastened. Someone has suggested that the feet were not just fastened parallel, but they were spread to cause more pain to the human body. They were in the inner prison where it was dark, it was cold, it was damp. What do we do when things are bleak? We're in a pandemic now. Some of us don't get out at all, hardly at all. We don't. Our lives are disrupted. We can be down on ourselves. We can be critical. We can cry out to the Lord, why us? Let us get this over with. Get rid of this disease. Get rid of this virus. And we need to pray this way. Several years ago, I liked to fish. And Gaston said there are some trout 7.5 miles into virgin forest, I can get you there. And another brother was there, and Jean-Paul Bernet was there, and so we all took off in the woods and traveled for 7.5 miles in virgin woods, getting to the stream. When we got to the stream, the trout were all 6 inches, just a little tiny stream. And it began to rain. And the mosquitoes were horrible. So Jacques Jolin was with us too, I forgot about that, Jacques Gaston's brother, got some wood together and made a fire. And we were covered, we had a tarpaulin and we were inside of this covering, and the rain was bad, the mosquitoes. I was miserable, miserable. And this other brother said, "Praise the Lord." I said, "What? No way." Verse 25. In dire straits, things are bad. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Wait a minute. This is fantastic. Here these men are there to present the gospel to whomever will listen. They had their way of trying to reach individuals. God had his way. They were thrown into prison, put in the stocks. And what do they do? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I don't know what hymns they would be singing to God, but whatever they knew. I tried to look this up to find out what type of spiritual songs they may have been singing, whether it would be the Psalms, but I didn't get all the information I needed. But they were singing hymns to God. It makes me think of this. You know, Ephesians tells us about that in chapter 5 and 19. We should be singing these spiritual songs. We don't realize maybe how much singing does help our spirits. Praying and singing are essential part of our Christian walk with the Lord. They have a way, the prayer has a way, and songs have a way of changing our attitude, our outlook, our feelings. But they were doing it as well for the prisoners who were listening to them. I said I like to fish, and there was a dear friend of ours who took me fishing. We were in Quebec. We went to this little lake, and he said, "Oh, by the way, I brought a friend. He's coming to meet us here, and he's going to go fishing with us." I got the boat, fine, and this friend walked up to us and said, "How do you do? Hi, I know the Lord. I love the Lord. I've got a song just for you, sir." And he sang me a song. He sang a song to me. "I'm traveling on my way to heaven." I was so touched. Someone I had never met before, who loved the Lord, sang a song to me. Does that ever happen to you? But there's a joy and peace in believing. Here are these three men. They're serving the Lord. They come upon the circumstances of life. They face up to them. They're in the dungeon. They're singing praises to God. The inner man has not been changed, but the inner man is growing. I know some of you have passed through recent sicknesses. Our human body's frail. It's weak sometimes. But the inner man, we can't let circumstances like these men, did not let the circumstance define their behavior, their being, their person. Who defined that? God himself. And so they responded in joyful singing and praying in a prison at midnight in stocks. What a testimony that is. What is it? What a testimony it is for us as we face this disease that's affecting so many people with songs of praise, prayers of and worship in love, so that God will help us to grow in the inner man. The outer man is dying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. May we take from this little meditation on this short passage of scripture some thoughts for our own commitment to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, things happen to us, but you are our God and our Father. And Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit's our Comforter. We have a life that we're living in the flesh. We want it to count for eternity. But we don't want the circumstances, even this pandemic, to destroy or overshadow us to the point where we can't express ourselves in prayer and in song and in word. We thank you for your greatness and for your love, for your salvation, Heavenly Father, provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for these passages of scripture that encourage us, that renew our spirits, that uplift your name. We give thanks to you for all your goodness, all your grace, and your wonderful salvation. And we give this thanks to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.